The Northern Ireland Protocol is unworkable and must be scrapped. That's what the DUP said this week in response to growing frustration over trade barriers between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Arlene Foster, the DUP's leader, also accused the Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney of being tone-deaf to the concerns of unionists. Well, Minister Simon Coveney is on the line now. Minister, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Justin.
Arlene Foster said you're tone-deaf to the concerns of unionists which relate to delays around certain goods arriving in Northern Ireland from Great Britain. Do you accept that there are legitimate issues that really need to be ironed out quite quickly? And I think we may have lost the minister. Hello, Minister, can you hear us?
Hello, Justin. Yeah, I can hear you. My apologies.
Okay, I'll repeat the question there.
I heard the question okay. All right, I think it's... I do accept that there are issues in terms of the implementation of the protocol, just like there are issues in relation to the new arrangements with the UK south of the border as well. It's a challenge. You know, the consequences of Brexit is a... there are many significant disruptors to trade in terms of paperwork, bureaucracy, checks in ports, customs declarations, and the preparation within companies for that to facilitate trade across the Irish Sea is difficult to adjust to. And we're all coping with that. In Northern Ireland, I can also understand, particularly for unionism, the politics of the protocol, which is not easy. Because we spent years trying to find a way to deal with the Irish issues linked to Brexit, to prevent physical border infrastructure re-emerging on the island of Ireland. And the protocol essentially was the result of the kind of Brexit that the British government pushed for, where they rejected a shared customs union and single market between the EU and the UK. They rejected the backstop, which Theresa May supported as a prime minister. And so the options narrowed and it became a challenge to actually treat Northern Ireland as an extension, essentially, of the EU single market for goods, but at the same time ensure unfettered access into GB. But require some checks on goods coming from GB into Northern Ireland because, of course, they can find their way into the single market.
Yes, and that's what's causing the problem.
The protocol is.
Yes, but you have heard, you know, the claims by Arlene Foster that the protocol is simply not working now and it must be scrapped.
Well, I mean, the protocol is working, but there are some difficulties with its implementation. I mean, goods are finding their way into Northern Ireland. We know that because goods coming through Northern Ireland ports in volume terms are quite similar to this time last year. But that doesn't mean that there aren't issues. There are. Unionism has been very strong in terms of its criticism of the implementation issues that we've seen through January. My job and the job of the European Commission and the British government is to ensure that the protocol works as smoothly as it possibly can, with all of the flexibility that's there used to the maximum extent possible, while at the same time being true to the protocol and an international treaty, which now provides a legal obligation on all of us to implement the protocol as best we can.
Can I ask you then to scrap
the protocol because there are some issues in terms of its implementation just isn't realistic. And I've tried to be as honest about that as I can this week. That's not me trying to pick a fight with the DUP. It's just me being honest with people. You cannot simply scrap an element of an international treaty 5 weeks into its implementation because you don't like elements of it. The DUP didn't vote for the protocol. They don't like the protocol. I respect that. But the protocol is a reality now, and we need to ensure that we are listening to unionists and to their concerns.
Okay, what about the businesses generally
in Northern Ireland to try to make sure that the protocol uses all of the flexibilities that are there as part of it to facilitate trade as smoothly as we possibly can.
What about the proposals then coming from, or demands you could call them, coming from Michael Gove, who says that what the EU needs to do now is to extend the grace period to give businesses more time to adapt to the border down the Irish Sea. Would you support an extension of that grace period?
Well, there are a number of grace periods that apply for different elements of the protocol. So, for example, supermarkets in Northern Ireland have a grace period in terms of them not having to use health certs for the first 3 months of the year. There's a grace period for what's called chilled meats, which is minced meat and sausages and so on, which would be problematic after a grace period ends. And that grace period lasts for 6 months. And then there's a grace period for medicines as well, for obvious reasons, because we're living through a pandemic. We don't want any disruption in terms of supply of medicines into Northern Ireland. So, you know, I have been speaking to Michael Gove again this weekend, and I will continue to speak to him through the week. And indeed, Brandon Lewis, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and Maros Sefcovic, who is the Vice President of the European Commission, who has specific responsibility from an EU perspective for the implementation of the protocol. We need to try to find accommodation for each other here that can reduce tensions in Northern Ireland, can respond to legitimate concerns, regardless of who's raising them, and so that we can show that the protocol can be flexible when needed.
Okay.
But at the same time, that is not a renegotiation of the protocol. It's about using the protocol as it is now and flexibilities within it. And certainly I would be open to advocating for modest extensions of grace periods when appropriate to try to, first of all, reassure people that we're listening to them in Northern Ireland, because we are. And then secondly, so that we can ensure that businesses can operate as best they can under the protocol. Right. But that's not the same thing as scrapping the protocol. And it's important to make a strong distinction between
okay.
the two.
You spoke of tensions there in Northern Ireland. There are also growing tensions this weekend over the way the PSNI handled the commemoration event on Friday when they arrested one of the attendees at that commemoration on the Ormo Road, a man who had survived a loyalist attack there in 1992. Now, Michelle O'Neill has said that there's a crisis of confidence in policing as a result of that arrest. Are you concerned that this is something that is going to escalate?
I hope not. And I do note that Chief Constable Simon Byrne made a quite a strong statement. He has said that the events that have taken place do not reflect the values of the PSNI. There's also a Northern Ireland Police Ombudsman investigation into what happened now. So I think it's important to let that process take its course. And to allow the Ombudsman to do their work and to report accurately on what happened. But I can certainly understand why this has caused tension in Northern Ireland as well. But I think it's dangerous for me to start commenting on police work in Northern Ireland when there is a Northern Ireland Ombudsman investigation ongoing. And I would encourage all political leaders to try to allow that investigation to take its course. And to trust the Ombudsman to come up with a full and accurate assessment in relation to what happened, and then let blame fall where it may.
Okay. I want to ask you about a separate issue. The Sunday Independent is reporting today that there are hundreds of British passengers returning from Dubai who are using Dublin then as a backdoor to avoid quarantining in the UK. Is that something that the Irish government is going to sort out?
Well, certainly, if there's a serious problem there, of course, we will sort it out. But let me just be clear, first of all, the World Health Organization has been very clear that the transit passengers do not represent a COVID risk. And so, Irish people have been coming home from different parts of the world at different times over the last year. And they haven't been taking PCR tests to land in transit airports. Of course, when they arrive back at home in Ireland, that's when they have to be able to show that they've had a PCR test in the previous 72 hours. And likewise, the UK authorities need to ensure that people landing into the UK, into British airports, are treated in a way that's consistent with public health advice, regardless of what airports they've used.
But Minister, wouldn't it just make much more sense if we adopted the same rules as each other, given that the UK and Ireland has a common travel area? Shouldn't we have the same quarantine restrictions as the UK? And that would sort everything out.
Well, I mean, we have actually very similar quarantine restrictions to the UK. They're requiring PCR tests now for people travelling into the UK from other parts of the world, and they're requiring quarantine for 10 days. We're requiring tests, and we're requiring quarantine for 14 days. So it's very, very similar.
We don't have the same rules. Justin, I mean, they restrict passengers coming from Portugal. We don't way.
Justin, I think what's happening here is because the UK don't require Irish citizens or citizens travelling from an Irish airport into the UK because of the common travel area, they don't require tests and quarantine. We do require actually tests and quarantine coming the other way. But if there is an issue with the UK's generosity towards Ireland, I have to say, in the context of the common travel area, in terms of Irish people travelling to the UK, if that's been abused by UK citizens coming back from other parts of the world to try to take advantage of that issue, well, then we will close that door by ensuring that there is communications with airlines and with UK authorities to make sure that they know exactly where people are coming from through an Irish airport.
Does that mean then, Minister,
that you
will provide passenger data for passengers arriving into Irish airports? You will provide that data to UK authorities, because we already know that there have been concerns that that data hasn't been provided to authorities in Northern Ireland who've looked for it.
Well, yeah, there have been comments on that haven't always been accurate. We are working with authorities in Northern Ireland, and I can tell you there is no resistance coming from the Irish government in terms of sharing data and information. That's the first thing. But secondly, if UK citizens are travelling from other parts of the world through Dublin as a transit airport into the UK because they can't fly directly into the UK, that's no different to Irish citizens doing that, flying through London into Ireland from other parts of the world where they don't have direct flights as well. So I think it's important that, you know, that we're consistent here. The key issue here is that people transiting through airports do not represent a risk, according to the World Health Organization, and it's important to say that. If there are data sharing issues that we need to work out with the UK authorities, of course we'll talk to them in a generous way about that.
All right. Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, thank you very much indeed for talking
to
us.
Justin.